Chapter 4, Encouragement. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact as you are doing. The Apostle Paul and the letter to the Thessalonians. This quote became very real to me almost 20 years ago when I was running my first marathon. My friend Melissa and I had tried for several years to train to run a marathon. But something kept sidetracking us before we could complete the training. Between the two of us, we suffered from a torn rotator cuff, a torn hamstring, and breast cancer. Luckily, we were able to finish the 6 months of training. We were right on track and had just completed a 22-mile run. We were starting to taper our runs. That means you actually back off on the distance that you're running and rest more. 19 days before the race, I had severe abdominal cramping and felt very ill. I headed to the emergency room late on New Year's Day. I don't think it was a coincidence that the doctor assigned to me was a marathoner. He told me I needed an emergency appendectomy. I was in tears and told him about my marathon plans. Rather than tell me I could not run the marathon, he told me he thought I could. I had a full surgery with a 3-inch incision. My post-operative instructions were no running, driving, or showering for 10 days post-surgery. Then I was to run 10 miles with a back brace around my abdomen and come in for my post-operative exam. I did that, and he encouraged me and cleared me to run. 9 days later, off we went to Carlsbad, California, to run that marathon with a lot of people praying for us. Running a marathon takes a lot of stamina. You build that up over a 6-month period of time. However, at some point, almost every runner begins to wear down. It's such a phenomenon, there's a name for it: hitting the wall. We started to run the marathon. We were doing great for a while. We had been covered in prayer, and I really did not have a lot of pain at my incision. We were even actually running faster than we thought we would. We had a group of friends and our family at mile 13 cheering and encouraging us. Our husbands met us along the way and restocked us with energy foods and drinks. All was going great until we passed the 20-mile mark. When I get tired, I throw my leg outward, so that it looks very awkward to spectators. This is the same leg in which I ripped 1/3 of my hamstring, and it's never completely healed. Melissa can usually hear me dragging my leg, and she tells me, "I am unaware that I am doing it." Around mile 22, Melissa commented to me how great the endorphins were. I was really wearing down and told her so. She realized I was throwing my leg again. Just after that, a man standing along the route yelled at me, "You're looking great!" I knew it was a lie, but he apparently saw I was having trouble and took the time to encourage me. His small act encouraged me so that I was able to grit my teeth and finish those last 4 miles. That incident was many years ago. I don't even remember what the man looked like. What I still remember is how his words positively impacted me. He will never know what he did for me that day. I can, however, tell you, his encouraging words did make a huge difference. Let that be a lesson for all of us, that we all have the power to be tremendous encouragers. Running that marathon was an experience and encouragement I will never forget. From the doctor that told me that I could do it, to our friends and family, the people at the water stations, and just the strangers who lined the route, we were encouraged every step of the way. Right after that marathon, I found the verse that begins this chapter. I committed it to memory and decided that it would be my life verse, one by which I try to live. So how do we go about encouraging one another and building one another? We first have to decide that we will always do that and refrain from ever making a disparaging remark. Since that is counterintuitive, we have to ask for help from the Holy Spirit. In the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul talks about spiritual gifts and says, if your gift is encouraging, then give encouragement. That means that some of us have actually been given the gift of encouragement to build others up in the body of Christ. If that is you, then make certain to use it. If it is not you, then ask for help in learning to use it. We need to be encouraging in two ways. One, we always need to be edifying in all that we say and do. And two, we need to guard against all disparaging remarks that we make about others, i.e., gossip. Making encouraging remarks is a habit, and once formed, it becomes second nature. One just has to focus on elevating and encouraging others. I wrote a whole chapter on this in my book, Step by Step, 21 Steps to Enhance the Winner in You. Stopping gossip is more difficult. First, it is necessary to realize that it is happening. Once we become aware, then we have to make a conscious decision to stop. There's an old adage taught to me by my mother, if you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. Our words have tremendous power, power to lift up or power to hurt and wound. It takes practice to become an encourager, but it is well worth the effort. You have to look for what people are doing right and comment on this. With this practice, it soon becomes a skill and just a part of who you are. I love this quote by Maya Angelou. I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. I'm amazed at how few people take the time to just say hello to others. Being very committed to doing at least 15,000 steps every day, I'm always out in my neighborhood, either walking or running. Most times, I'm the first one to say hello to someone I'm passing. I smile and say hi. If I see them several times, I stop and ask their name and try to remember it. Since I'm not always successful at remembering a name, I ask them a second time. They are usually very happy to tell me their name again. Then they admit that they do not remember mine. If it's an unusual name, and since I'm a visual learner, I often ask them to spell it for me. That aids me in visualizing it. When we become an encourager of people, there's no place in our conversation for sarcasm. The root of the word sarcasm is the cutting of flesh. Even though it is sometimes meant in jest, it can literally cut flesh and be very damaging to people. Humor should never be created at someone's expense. Make a decision right now that you will always be an encourager to people. Then you need to do the other half. Never make a disparaging remark about anyone to another person. And don't participate when others begin to tell you a tale about someone. Walk away or say something nice about the person who's about to be maligned. It is so easy to get sucked into gossip. Sometimes it happens before you're even aware of it. The book of Proverbs states, gossip is so tasty, how we love to swallow it. If we compare gossip to a tasty chocolate treat, once we taste it, it becomes difficult to refuse more. Just like the dieter, the only way we can truly avoid it is just not to start. Look back at the verse with which I began this chapter. Make your best effort to always be encouraging to everyone. When you fail, know that you're not alone in this. I found this in Sirach under the heading of A Prayer for Help Against Sin. I wish that a guard could be placed at my mouth, that my lips could be wisely sealed. It would keep me from making mistakes and prevent me from destroying myself with my own tongue.